like Benson, I'm a who that.
I'm a who that.
Long as I'm living, I'm a who that.
I'm a who that.
Lose or win, and I'm a who that. Sports coma, yeah, this is where we do that. Where we do that, where we do that, where we do that, where we do that, where we do that. Boogie like Benson,
I'm a who that.
Sports coma, this is where we do that.
Where we do that.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Somebody please better help. Running this thing like elf. Thank God every day I'm not a felt. Go to YouTube live with Big Q and the guys. If you ain't ride or die, the bandwagon get flipped. Been marching in, that was way for the ring. I was yelling out your shame for the championship. Bucking on town, duck down. Falcons pluck, get shut down. Panthers ain't much to touchdown. The vision really belong to us now. So much hate on the Saints, you could probably tell. Ever since Bounty Gate hit the NFL, when things seem fishy and you probably smell. The crooked referees are Roger Goodell. Look like this and
I'm a who that.
Every day I'm living, I'm a who that. Lose or winning,
I'm a who that.
It's the sports coma, this is where we do that. Where we do that, where we do that, where we do that, where we do that, where we do that. Boogie like this and
I'm a who that.
It's the sports coma, this is where we do that.
You're listening to the Sports Coma with Big Q and the guys on the PRO Media Network.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. You're now rocking with the Sports Coma with Big Q and the guys, where we have intense, entertaining, educating, and enlightened sport talk from your favorite sports family. Shout out to the Who Dat Nation. Appreciate you guys for joining us for this episode of the show. Much love to the fam. Friday special. We up in this thing. Much love to the great Saint Thank Tank. We up in this thing. Shout out to the fam, man. Appreciate y'all joining us, man. Some news breaking just a couple hours ago, actually, about Coach Chris Richard being going to Atlanta. Is that really a surprise? Not really. Not really, not really at all. Chris Richard been trying to get out of here for the last several years. He finally successful now. He's not, you know, who wants to be a co-coordinator of anything, man? Seriously, you can't do what you want to do, but I promise you that the Atlanta Falcons are going to allow him to be a defensive coordinator in Atlanta. Is it any surprise he went to Atlanta? The team is led by Terry Fontenot, former Saints man, longtime Saints man. And Atlanta's doing some good work over there. They're trying to build for the future, and we need to stay competitive in the NFC South. So shout out to the fam. Appreciate y'all joining us for this episode of The Coma. Much love to the fam. Torrey Shepard Sr., Elite, JT, OG Jerry Poor in the building as well. Who else we got chiming in? 992 Ras, KT, my boy, is in the building. Preston, shout out to you. Dante, shout out to you as well. Kathleen, shout out to you, Queen. Appreciate you. Who else we got? Dragon Dynasties in the building. Greg Hines, shout out to you. Godfidence, shout out. Ant-Man, T. Scott, BJ9, Cameron, GM Kev is in the building as well. Big ups to you guys. Brother Arvin is in the building. Farouk, I see you, fam. Appreciate you as well. Good to see all the fam up in this Friday stream. What's up, KB, baby? Shout out to the Queens, man. Tuck Graff, what's popping, fam? Appreciate you. Good to see you. Dewine, what's happening, fam? Appreciate you as well. Don C, what's happening, bro? Good to see you in the chat as well. All right, so big ups to the fam, man. Yeah, I got him, KT. I got him, bro. I was looking at him, bro. I like the list you gave of the power runners, this 220-pound runners, the big guys. I like that list that you gave me, man. I knew about a few of them. I was looking up the a couple other ones you hadn't sent to me. Good calls on that. And I'm going to keep looking at the rest of them, too. Like I said, we're going to start looking at draft stuff coming up next week, breaking down the draft position by position, going through that thing. So shout out to you. Appreciate that information. And I'll be bringing KT on to kind of break down and make GM Kev, KT, and maybe another family member that's really good at scouting. That's just a couple of the great Saint Thank Tank homegrown talent that's just elite. All right, L-Dub, what's happening, bro? Good to see you as well. Shout out to you, fam. Appreciate you guys for being up in this one for the stream. Now, of course, for the family that didn't know that Ryan Nielsen is now an Atlanta Falcon defensive coordinator. So they did a good job of replacing Pease, who retired, with Nielsen, who was trying to get out of here for the longest time. Now, what kind of defense would Ryan Nielsen bring to the Atlanta Falcons? A passionate, smart defense that's built up front. You know, his forte is the defensive line. So he's good at really getting guys firing off that defensive line. The Falcons have struggled with that over the last several years. So this was not just the regular hiring. Family, this was actually a damn good and smart hiring by the Atlanta Falcon people. Terry Fontenot in particular. One of the major issues for Atlanta Falcon defense was lack of a consistent pass rush. Well, Ryan Nielsen will fix that. He will definitely fix that. He will also help to aid in run support, building up that defensive line and building the defense on the defensive line. That's how it goes. If you got a strong defensive line, meaning you firing off, getting pressure with four guys, not only getting pressure with the front four, but also stopping the run, that frees up everybody. It just makes the defense a lot better because those pass rushers, they rush the quarterback to make throws that he's not ready to make, which usually ends up in either incompletion or interception. So really smart hire by Terry Fontenot, knowing his personnel, you know. So, yeah, this was a good hire by the Falcons. Now, in terms of the Saints, you know, how does that look? We'll react to that and talk about that, family. And I'll give you, Q, you mean Ryan Nielsen. Yeah, I'm sorry, what I said. Yeah, Ryan Nielsen, fam. Yeah, Ryan Nielsen, man, it's a good hiring, real good hiring by the Falcons. I don't know if they realize what he'll bring. They're just probably looking at the fact that they want somebody better. But we brought Ryan Nielsen up from the ranks of college when they got rid of Bill Johnson, garbage ass Bill Johnson, when Peyton got rid of him and they said, we need a guy. And they went and found Ryan Nielsen from North Carolina State, the Wolfpack. And he had a resume of developing very good defensive linemen and getting them into the draft. He was really good there and was a defensive line coach. And that was good enough to get him into the league where he was climbing. So, yeah, that's a solid hiring by Fontenot, knowing his personnel, fam. But in terms of the Saints, how does that hit? Well, we know Coach Richard was supposed to have interviewed with the Miami Dolphins. We know that he was supposed to be interviewed he interviewed with the Carolina Panthers. So the thing was, you got two co-coordinators there. You can afford to lose one. Atlanta took one off your hands. The Saints need to lock the other one down unless they planning on letting both of them go and bringing up another guy into the ranks. Don't ask me what these people are doing because they don't move within the realm of logic. So I don't follow random idiocy. I'm sorry. I don't rationalize random idiocy. I can only deal with logic, man. Anything that is irrational or non-commonsensical, that is outside of my realm of expertise. I can only analyze things that are logical, that are actually logical. And this is if they allow both of them to leave, then perhaps they're looking at, you know, doing this, that, and the third. But the Saints was so poor insofar as getting the offseason plan effectively done. By the time they finally got a plan done, guys are already putting in requests to interview their people. And see, that's why I was mentioning a lot of this family to guys to the family members on the stream when we was talking about that. I was saying the Saints are behind the nine ball because they waited so long to get the offseason plan in effect that by the time they got their plan or whatever they was doing together, teams were already knocking at their door, looking at their people. So they already looking at their people and did they fully do an evaluation on all of the coaching staff? Did they do everything? I don't know. And I really don't trust them to do another and they full of it. And when you're determined to be full of it, people lose a lot of respect for you because there's no need to be like that. Just tell it like it is. And people will respect you, whether it's right or wrong. Just tell it like it is. So anyway. Anyway, is it a bad move for the Saints to lose Ryan Nielsen? Not really, family, because listen, Ryan Nielsen's a good defensive line coach, but listen, we can't keep him forever. Either you're going to pay him and give him a coordinator position and match whatever they were going to do, you know, just give him the coordinator position or let him go. And they let him go. Now, what he gets in Atlanta versus what he would have gotten in New Orleans had they made him the coordinator, he would have been allowed to build the defense the way he wanted to. He'd have been allowed to call plays for the defense like he wasn't allowed to do here. So even though Dennis Allen has two co-coordinators, well, one now, a coordinator now, that guy, whoever the coordinator is, doesn't have the power to call plays on defense. Dennis Allen's sitting up there doing that. So you know you wouldn't like that. If you were had a head coach on top of the team that was doing it, Sean Payton allowed, well, he did it to Pete Carmichael. Pete Carmichael didn't mind not calling the plays because Pete Carmichael don't have no balls. He don't have no stones, you know, to make the plays. You know, he looked like you can pick him from the Saints and drop him right at the IRS, and that looked like the guy that you would see at the IRS talking to you about something. Pete Carmichael, he just looked like one of them dudes that push papers at the at an accountant's office or something. That's what Carmichael looked. He don't look like no, if you never seen him before and somebody just put him in front of you and say, who is this guy? Gotta be a guy, he gotta be some kind of accountant or something. You don't look like no coach I never seen, but allowing Carmichael to have control of the offense and not messing with him, and he said he fiddle-faddled along and put whatever, I don't believe it, but you never giving the defensive coordinator the autonomy or the ability to call plays and set up the defense like he would want, that's an attractive proposition to anybody. And notice both Chris Richard and Ryan Nielsen are saying, hey, I'm up out of here. This guy wants to call all the plays. I want to be, if you're going to make me a coordinator, let me be a coordinator. Let me call my own plays. Let me do what I want to do. And not you sitting up here calling plays, looking stupid, looking like a rat. Anyway, with that being said, shout out to the fan. Appreciate y'all being up in this thing. Is it a bad move to lose Ryan Nielsen to the Atlanta Falcons? Yes and no. Yes, it's a bad move insofar as because you have to play the Falcons twice a year. And Ryan Nielsen, to a degree, knows some of the things about your offense. Well, then again, the Saints offense basically a self-check to a large degree until we do some things. Real strange, you know, real strange. Being unprepared has its drawbacks. It's several offensive people that are being hired by people right now. Had the Saints had their ducks lined up right after the season over with, perhaps they could have got a couple of these offensive minded people to get interviews. Let me ask you this. Because I don't know everything, man. I pay attention to as much as I can. Let me ask you guys this. How many interviews did the Saints arrange? You got nine playoff teams, which the Saints are. And everybody asking them to interview their people. But how many people have the Saints interviewed? You want to answer that one for me? The answer is none. They haven't put out any interviews. Why? Because they weren't prepared when the season ended. They did not have anything set up and prepared. They had no situation. You see what I'm saying here? You see, and people, they don't understand. It's just we got to run these people out of here, man, for real. Because they acting like they just had a Super Bowl just 3 years ago and they just moonwalking. They too fat and happy, man. Too fat and happy. So, I mean, this operating cycles. That's when you're not prepared. You're not prepared to interview nobody because you didn't do the business at hand. You don't even know what you're doing. I mean, we waited 2 weeks into the offseason before he started formulating interviews with his own staff. And then by that time, people already issuing interviews to him. Insane. But at the end of the day, man, if things will right themselves, it usually does. Now, on the flip side, that's the hurting aspect. You're losing Ryan Nielsen to the Falcons with his tendencies. We know he's going to build a very fierce defense. We know where he's going to help empower them, which is on the defensive line, which is his level of expertise. We know he's going to get them to be smart. He's going to get them focused. He's going to get them fundamentally sound. He's going to get and find pass rushers that's going to try to be consistent against the Saints. He's going to find guys up the middle to stuff to run, which will make it even more difficult on you. If the front four is firing off, they can drop everybody else in coverage and make life hell for you. The good thing about it is Ryan Nielsen was trying to get out of here anyway. I think eventually you would have lost him anyway. He'd been trying to get out of here. Even when Peyton was here, he was trying to go to LSU. Then after that, he applied for the Green Bay Packer job a couple of years ago. Didn't get that. Joe Barry got that job. He'd been trying to get out of here. He interviewed with the Vikings, and then finally the Falcons picked him up. So, you know, what do the Saints do now? Do they commit to Chris Richard or simply let Chris Richard walk and make Michael Hodges or somebody else the defensive coordinator? Does Dennis Allen have somebody else that he wants to bring on to the team? Do he want to make the defense and bring some of the people that he know, whoever that may be, do you want to bring up? But anyway, let's get on into it, fam. Please feel free to hit the like button, hit the subscribe button, and feel free to share the show's links on your social media feed. It helps us out. Shout out to Jordan Aid listening to us from Facebook. Shout out to you, Jordan. Appreciate you, family. Thank you. All right. Much love to the rest of you guys as we get ready to cover the latest news and notes here. I'm not going to hold you guys very long on the stream. I promise. What's up, Barbara? Shout out to you, Queen. What's up, Carla? Shout out to you. Dre Day, shout out to your fam. Appreciate you as well. Kathleen, how you doing? All right, and the rest of the fam. All right, so anyway, this is what's interesting about it with Ryan Nielsen, the Falcons prime away. And the Saints really did this to themselves, honestly, because if they had made Terry Fontenot the man, then we wouldn't be facing them against with the Atlanta Falcons in the rebuild. But whatever success they have, they had to come to New Orleans to get it. Falcons pry Ryan Nielsen away from the Saints. Nielsen heading to the Falcons to be their D coordinator. That's not a co-coordinator, but the D coordinator. He call his own plays. Falcons have hired Ryan Nielsen away from the Saints for the defensive coordinator job, Atlanta announced on Friday evening. Atlanta interviewed Nielsen on Tuesday, and the departure from New Orleans will now lead them to needing to fill a defensive line coach at minimum. Nielsen had been a part of the Saints defense since 2017. He was a very important one, and he, Chris Rashard, were co-defensive coordinators last season under Allen, and Rashard has also drawn some outside interest from other teams. Under Nielsen, the Saints saw some big resurgence and production from their defensive line. He used a heavy rotational approach with both defensive line and tackles, and it's that pass rush in waves and to keep guys absolutely fresh. And they did a wonderful way, a job in doing that. So it was interesting. Really good. So anyway, there it is. So if Rashard does not get a job elsewhere, then it would make a lot of sense to have him to be the team's defensive coordinator. Rashard also does a great work with the secondary. Losing him would be another big blow to the team. So with Coach Rashard gone, the Saints will have to find a defensive line coach. Let's look at the Saints current coaching staff as per NewOrleansSaints.com. Of course, you see the rat Dennis Allen sitting up top there. This is the offensive guys right there. Carmichael listed as the offensive coordinator, passing game coordinator, and quarterbacks coach Ronald Curry, who should be elevated. Running backs coach Joel Thomas, wide receivers coach Cody Burns, offensive line coach Doug Marone, offensive line assistant Zach Strief. Offensive, and then they got the assistant to the head coach and offensive assistant, Kevin Petrie, Bob Bicknell, which is the senior offensive assistant, and offensive assistant, Declan Doyle. You also have DJ Williams as another offensive assistant. The defensive line now has Coach Rashard. The coaches are Coach Rashard's there. They still have him listed as co-defensive coordinator and secondary coach. He will become the coordinator if he decides to stay. Defensive assistant, Peter Gunter. Well, you know, is there as an assistant defensive coach. You see linebackers coach Mike Hodges, assistant secondary coach Corey Robinson. So if that happens, could we see Coach Rashard elevated to be the defensive coordinator? Comes with maybe a boost in pay, perhaps. And does assistant secondary coach Corey Robinson become the new secondary coach? Pass rush specialist Brian Young, defensive assistant Jordan Traylor, and defensive assistant Sterling Moore. Those are the coaches right there. And, of course, you see our special team coaches, which Darren Rizzi, who should be fired, and Phil Galliano, who I think should get an opportunity. Rizzi should be fired as well. So, anyway, does it remain like this? Do the Saints have an inside move to replace the defensive line coaches? Does Dennis Allen has somebody that he would bring in? Only time will tell, because the Saints haven't even told you what the plan is. So remember, they were supposed to enlighten you about what the plan was and what they were going to do. And we still waiting for that press conference. So the Saints, once again, are slow on the trigger. All right, some more news to cover. Cardinals legend urges team to hire Sean Payton as the head coach. It's coming from Yard Barker and dropping it. After meeting with Peyton on Thursday for nearly an entire day, many believe the Cardinals have a legitimate shot at landing the offseason's hottest head coaching candidate. Cardinals legend Larry Fitzgerald urged the team to do whatever it took to bring Peyton on board while appearing on the Bickley and Moriarty show. Fitzgerald called hiring Peyton a no-brainer for the Cardinals, despite the lucrative contract he would undoubtedly require and the compensation necessary to land him from the Saints, who still retain his rights. The 11-time Pro Bowler pointed out Peyton's ability to bring the best out of great players and develop others through the draft. Drew Brees turned himself into a Hall of Famer, but under the tutelage of Sean Payton, Fitzgerald said, in terms of him drafting great, talented players, not even drafting them, but developing them, you hear a lot of people talking about Sean Payton's ability to develop talent. On Friday, NFL Network's Rappaport reported on the McAfee show that the Cardinals were resetting things regarding the next steps of their head coaching search. Resetting. Arizona right now will have to either work to hire Sean Payton or bring in one other candidate for a second interview. If they bring in someone for a second interview, I would say that person probably becomes the favorite, or there's a good chance he gets the job. Along with Payton, other candidates that Rappaport believes might get a second interview with the Cardinals are Aaron Glenn, Flores, and Alvaro. After Cardinals owner Mike Bidwell and Peyton met for almost 7 hours on Thursday, hopes were high in the desert. However, shortly after the interview, Peyton dashed those hopes slightly. He took to Twitter to deny the reports he was no longer interested in the Broncos job due to issues during, and we covered this the other day, where Coach Peyton said, zero truth to this. We had a great visit and ownership was fantastic. Since then, the Panthers hired former Indianapolis coach Frank Wright while the Broncos search continues. Peyton could be keeping his options open, which is smart, when negotiating pay and power. Right now, Peyton holds the leverage. However, as the jobs across the NFL begin to fill, that leverage will decrease, making a possible return to television for Peyton a genuine possibility if he doesn't find the right fit. Now, we knew Carolina wasn't the right fit because the Saints would have made Carolina cough up more draft capital to acquire Sean Payton simply because the Saints and the Panthers were in the same division. So you would have to, you know, get more capital. And of course, we know that wasn't going to happen. So really, truthfully and honestly, there's only really two teams that fit the criteria that Payton wants. That's Denver and there's Arizona. Both have quarterbacks there that are good quarterbacks. Both have pretty good defenses and pretty decent special teams. They just need a coach that's competent enough to get their offense together, and they should be successful. They'll have something similar to a Jaguar turnaround from one of the worst to first, you know, and depending on which situation lines up and who's willing to give what. And to have two teams like Arizona and Denver between each other, that's going to be fun to watch. The Fox thing is interesting, but at the end of the day, I think it's not whether or not they want to pay him the money or give up the picks. I think both of them want to give up picks for Peyton because, listen, the reality is you don't get to hire a Super Bowl winning coach all the time. If Coach Peyton was a free agent and out on the prowl, every team who had an opportunity to hire him, they might have had more teams that would have gotten involved. If they didn't have to pay the first round draft pick compensation, all they had to pay was the money. So some people realize that they wouldn't have had a competition opportunity to even hire Peyton if it was a situation where he was not under contract with the Saints and he was a free agent. You see what I'm saying? You know, most teams knew they wouldn't have a shot. So some teams got to understand that, listen, we've built up a pretty good team. Peyton is really for teams who are ready to win now. Not teams that's trying to build up and all this kind of junk. He's really designed for teams that are really winning, ready to win now. Teams who have good defense and good special teams, and they just need somebody to fix the offense, and the quarterback has to be there, right? He's made for a win now team who struggled from an offensive standpoint due to whatever reason, like they had a dysfunction between Kyler Murray and and Cliff Kingsbury in Arizona. You know, they had problems with him and the general manager. It was just in disarray. It affected the team and the offense. The situation in Denver, Hackett, what happened with Hackett, there was a disconnect some kind of way in terms of philosophy with Russell Wilson. He couldn't get the best out of him. We know that Peyton could get Russell Wilson to be productive at the very least, as opposed to be totally confused and unconfident like what he was in Hackett's system. So we know that Peyton, who's 59 years of age, could fix Denver and Arizona. And if they're smart, they would give up the money because they're billion-dollar people. We're not talking to people that don't have no money. We're talking about people where money is not an obstacle. They'll pay you whatever you want if you can get them the result, which is get them into the playoffs on deep playoff runs. They'll pay for that. They'll make that money back anyway once Peyton comes, because that they'll fill up the stadiums. They'll get all that revenue, and plus they're making more money anyway with the gambling stuff. So, you know, they can afford. You got to invest in something. You got to invest in your business and put the best you can in that business to make them win. And obviously right now, Peyton is the best coach out on the market right now. And the teams that really want to win right now are going to take that seriously. So, and those who don't won't. All right. So anyway, let's get into this one, family. Let's cover a little news, notes and items right here. We're going to jump this, and I'm going to play a little interview for you. Some backdrop. Actually, let's start with that next. Let's jump into that first and get a little insight on this. And this is what Tom Pelissero was saying on the show with Rich Eisen. He was talking about the Sean Payton thing. Listen up.
Let's jump in with Denver and Sean Payton. If you can mix the Denver situation in with Sean Payton's and what happens there and with Coach Payton. What do you got for me?
So what we know as of Sean Payton as of now, and this is... This is a lot of moving parts here, Rich,
yeah.
Because, you know, you're talking about the trade and the contract and other candidates. He interviewed with Carolina. I know that there had been some rumors that David Tepper was going to throw everything at him. I never understood that to be the case. They spent time with Sean Payton. He was not the target of their search. The Cardinals spent time with Sean Payton yesterday. They, of course, lost out on Dan Quinn. So you cannot entirely rule him out there. The Texans is a job that some people close to Payton feel like he would like. I don't, again, never say never. I don't get the sense that he is the frontline candidate right now in the Texans search. And then the Broncos have not operated with any type of urgency regarding Sean Payton, in part because they probably don't believe that they're battling it out with anybody right now for his services. And none of that is to cast any aspersions upon Sean, who's a very good coach, who's won a Super Bowl, had a ton of success, great with offense, all those things. But you've got to remember, you're talking about he wants, based upon all indications, all reports, a sizable amount of money to take a coaching job. And the Saints, as much as Sean has said, well, mid-first-round pick, what teams have heard from Mickey Loomis is we want what John Gruden fetched. We want what Bill Parcells fetched. We want, you know, two first round picks or something up in that neighborhood.
Okay, let's pause it right there. I've been saying that for a while, man. You'd be like, man, why the Saints asking? Because I've been saying that. All trades, an idea of how you're going to trade people, is all based on the models of coaches that were traded before you and what teams got. It's the pocket watching philosophy. That's pretty much what it is, fam. It's the pocket watching philosophy. That's what it is. It's the pocket watching philosophy. That's what it is. What did they get for Gruden? What did they get for Parcells? Like the guy said, what did they get for this other guy? And then you say, well, Gruden got two, and he didn't even have a Super Bowl ring. Peyton should get two. Like, that's too much. That's too much. They knew that it was. Listen, none of this, let's just span this time frame out. Everybody and his mama knew the Saints was going to ask for two first round draft picks. We were saying it a year ago. So nothing that anybody is doing, right, when they talk about Sean Payton now, is a surprise. Why are these people sounding surprised? Well, the Saints want two first round draft picks for sure. You know that already. Stop sounding surprised. Stop sounding. This is old stuff. This is old stuff. We've been saying they're going to be two first round draft picks because they watch what previous teams got for other coaches in that situation. We've been saying that for over a year. It's not hard. It's not hard at all. And then, of course, it broke in the middle of the year that when Peyton comes back to coaching, he's going to command north of $20 million a season. Man, them insiders said that 6 months ago. Well, what was it? The middle of the playing year? Remember? Y'all put one in the chat if y'all remember we talked about it. We covered that on the Sports Coma at least 3 months ago when they were saying Sean Payton, when he comes back, the coaching is going to command north of $20 million and is a contract that will make him the highest paid coach in the NFL history. Their insiders were saying that. They were saying that's been something that's been out there in the ethers. They've been reported on that. So it's not like it's anything that's a surprise. Oh, you know, Sean Payton. Then this guy says that, Denver don't think there's any competition for Sean Payton. Are you kidding me? What you talking about? You don't think there's any. If any people that are still requesting to interview Sean Payton, that's competition. What are you talking about? Where do they get this stuff from? They just like to hear themselves talk, is it? Because most of the time, they just be prattling on, and I'm sitting up here listening. And I'm saying to myself, dude, that don't make any type of sense what you're saying. And I'm not calling the man. I'm just saying what he's saying doesn't strike in a realm of logic or common sense. It don't compute. It doesn't compute. Sean Payton has. Denver has. If they want to hire Sean Payton as their coach, yes, they have competition. He just got through being interviewed by the Arizona Cardinals. I mean, they had four teams that interviewed him. One team, the Carolina Panthers, wasn't a serious team. They wasn't. They are not going to give up three because we would have forced them to give up three first-round draft picks for Sean Payton. Why? Because you're smart to do that. You're not going to trade him in division. Them people know that. They broke away and say, you know what, let's move on. Let's just hire Frank Wright. Good hire. Great hire. Now, in terms of the Texans is a long shot there because they don't have a quarterback. And really, Sean Payton don't want a challenge. If he wanted a team with no quarterback and a challenge, he just sort of stayed in New Orleans. I'm sorry to say that. But, you know, it's just, think about it. If Sean Payton wanted a team with no quarterback and a challenge, he could have just stayed in New Orleans. Hell, he's still under contract for the next 2 years. You know? So, no, he doesn't want no challenge. Sean Payton don't want challenge, man. He wants somebody that already did the work at the quarterback position. That's only two teams that he's interviewed with that has that. Denver, which damn sure wants him. They made up their mind when they fired Hackett that the guy that was going to aim at is Payton. But you can't make it blatantly obvious that you want Payton as your guy. Why? Because he can use that as leverage against you. It's like you dating a girl, right? You're dating a girl and you know she's interested in you and you're interested in her, but you got to play it cool, baby. Baby, you got to play it cool, you know? She giving you the vibes and everything, you know? And you looking, yeah, she fine, you know? And she giving you the vibes and everything, but at the same time, you got to play it cool. You can't be all slobbingly over there hanging all on her. That's the unattractive. All thirsty and stuff. You can't do that. You got to play it cool, baby. You got to play it cool. You know, you like her a lot, but you got to contain yourself. You got to be smooth with it, you know? And she doing the same thing. She like you, but she ain't going to be like all over you, sweating you like that. You know, she going to be composed. She going to be cool. And then y'all just cool and composed together. But you just got to know how to read the room. You just got to know how to do that. You see what I'm saying? So it's the same deal to a degree because both of these people are interested in you, but they don't want to act thirsty. This is a non-thirsty situation. The Broncos don't want to appear to be thirsty because Peyton would understand as, oh, they want me. That means they're going to pay what I want. So they got to play it cool here, man. You know, this is diplomacy. It's tact going on. It's a certain realm of class that you got to operate with. You can't be out here acting thirsty. Thirstiness, that's a picture, image of desperation. And people don't like desperate people. Especially if you date somebody and y'all went on a few dates and then person start acting all desperate and thirsty. You be like, hold on, what's going on? It'll throw you off. That's weird energy. You see? So for most of my people, they understand that, but you don't believe how many people don't get that. It's these people are getting to figure out each other. And then, of course, when they get to the next round of interviews, because there will be. Now, of course, Denver is going to line up people. So Arizona's going to line up people because only one team can get Sean Payton. It won't be money that stops them because both will be willing to give them the money. The particulars is in the deal between the general managers. How much power does he have? That'll be the thing that tells all, not even a draft compensation, because both teams have picks this year and both teams have picks next year. I'm like, well, you're taking all our draft capital. Case in point, both of these teams, Arizona and Denver, are built to win right now. They're built to win right now. They got all the talent. They got good wide receivers, running backs, offensive line, defense. They're built to win right now, and he's the missing piece to take them to the next level. That's how they're looking at it. And let me tell you something. Denver is a team, even though they're trying to be cool and not appear to be thirsty, they're very thirsty. They fired their coach in the middle of the year and been looking at Sean Payton the whole damn way. And let me tell you something again. They tired of guys, no-name coaches, that don't have no resumes to command respect. We talk about Vic Fangio was a terrible hire for them. We know that Paul Hackett's boy, Nathan Hackett and Nathaniel, whatever, he was a bad hire for them as well. So you're going to keep getting these no-names, or you're going to swing for the fence and get an accredited Super Bowl-winning coach with a resume of turning offenses into top five, top 10 units. That comes at a premium. All these people out here, I'm not going to pay that. So you're going to go to Payless and get Protex? You're going to get, you know, you're going to sport them Protex? You know what I'm saying? Or you going to go get the Jordans that you want? You're going to go get them goddamn Jordans you want. You ain't going to go over here to the discount sneaker store and go get Protex and all this kind of stuff. You ain't going to do that. It's a premium. And when things are at a premium or they top shelf and there's a premium, you're going to pay for premium stuff. It's not going to be cheap, low shelf stuff. Top shelf stuff usually comes at a premium. It costs you a little money because they got something with it. So people don't understand that. Picks, oh, you can give up all these picks. Sure, you ain't winning shit. Denver, y'all ain't winning nothing. Y'all up there stanking it up, and y'all got all this money committed to this quarterback. You can't get rid of Russell Wilson, so you need to find somebody there that can help him win. And currently, this is the best team on the market. He eventually will go somewhere, and I'm telling you, Denver more than likely could be the people that take him. It's going to come down to Arizona and Denver. Watch. You're going to see. You know, and it's a cue about Fox. Fox, that's his back pocket. That's his back pocket move. He can always slide back to the booth if he wants to. But remember, Sean Payton got an itch to scratch in the NFL. That's what this is about. You know, so anyway, let's keep it pushing, man. Or I drop a little game on you. All right, so anyway, let's get into this one, family. And this one's the preview, New Orleans Saints offseason preview 2023 free agents, cuts, candidates, and team needs. This is a quick, nice little preview just to get people prepared for the offseason after all of the Sean Payton stuff gets out the way. Let's delve into this thing right here. Mickey Loomis and Payton overestimated their in-house talent last winter and made bad choices because of it. Is this the offseason they finally take their salary cap medicine? No. We explore in the Saints offseason preview. Mickey Loomis actually said that he's about working the cap back to the middle. He really actually said that. I was like, man. Okay, so anyway, New Orleans Saints offseason preview. Avert your eyes. For the salary cap isn't real, crowd. This will be a painful few months. The Saints have mediocre roster. They don't have a mediocre roster. That's untruth. That's not truth. Their roster is not mediocre. If it was mediocre, they would have been only a 3 or 4 win team. This is a very talented roster. An ungodly balance sheet. It's not ungodly, man. Stop overestimating things. It's $40, $50 million. The Saints climbed down out of the cap from 180 and now they're at 40, and it's ungodly all of a sudden. Boy, the sky is falling as people over here. Is Dennis Allen a good head coach? Probably not, I agree. But how could you tell for sure when Dalton is your quarterback? You carried $43 million in dead cap from the year before. A lot of that was Drew. Jarvis Landry and Michael Thomas didn't give you one good reason worth the receiving stats combined, and your highest paid player is the diminished Cam Jordan. Number one, let me get this straight here. People say, where is this at? Pro Football Network, okay? Let me just put it like this to you, fam. Let me give you the real deal. This is what we do. Remember, we got a PhD and Saintsology. We got a PhD in Saintsology, baby. Let me get on up into this. Number one, Jarvis Landry did some positive things for the Saints this past season. He didn't do a lot, but the real positive thing is whatever he did, he came out there and did a few good things for the black and gold. But he got hurt and he couldn't find a rhythm in the Saints offense. Nobody really could find a rhythm consistently except for Chris Olave and Rashid Shaheed, which was also the plus side of the negative injury to Jarvis Landry. It allowed Rashid Shaheed to develop into what we've seen. So that was a plus of the Jarvis Landry situation, where he was a positive impact in the locker room with the wide receiver corps. But when he was hurt, it opened up areas so we could see Rashid Shaheed and Chris Olave even, well, he didn't stop. It allowed Chris Olave to continue to develop and Rashid Shaheed to develop as well. Michael Thomas didn't give you one good reason worth the receiving stats combined. He was hurt most of the year, but when he played, he was just ridiculous. And that's the thing. He was shelved early, so he should be ready to go for training camp. Do they stick with him on that? That's the whole another thing. Do they stick with him on that? And another thing is, who's your quarterback? Because that also impacts wide receiver stats and flow of the offense. You don't have a quarterback, no leader on top of the team, your offense is not going to look well. It's just going to look just like what the Saints is. They're just going through the motions. There is no direction there. It's a rudderless ship. All right, your highest paid players are diminished. Cam Jordan. Cam Jordan is not diminished. Cam Jordan finished this year, I think he had 8.5 sacks, I won't say on the year, after having double-digit sacks, 12-something last year, and he reached 155.5 sacks this year and broke Ricky Jackson's sack record and became the sack master of the New Orleans Saints. He took Ricky Jackson's record down, who is a first ballot Hall of Famer. That's not a diminished. Cam Jordan is still very much so a competent and reliable defensive end. He's the most reliable defensive end you have. Davenport, Peyton Turner, none of those guys could be counted on. It was always Cam. And if he had a reliable complement on the other side, we could have seen more production from Cam, who makes a living beating double teams and sometimes triple teams. How many defensive linemen you know could do that as long as he did it? You know? And things are even bleaker in 23. The Saints need to take drastic measures, tripling down on old expensive players or trading away younger ones simply to break even. No, they don't. To get their cap in place is needed to upgrade the roster through free agency. It's impossible to fathom. It's very possible to fathom. These old sky is falling ass people. And oh yeah, the Saints don't even get their benefit of a high draft pick after a mediocre season. They traded their first round to Philadelphia last spring for what? Who did they trade it for? Oh, they don't even have a first round draft pick. Well, what happened to it? Well, what happened to the first round draft pick that we had that we gave up? Oh, I forgot. I remember now. It became Chris Olave, who was one of the best wide receivers on your team. Chris Olave coming out this upcoming year would be better than any wide receiver that's in the draft, hands down. So even though you don't have a first round draft pick this year, you got a first round draft pick on your damn team named Chris Olave, who's the future. Now, also you have Penn in there, but Penning, they didn't do him right. And hopefully next year they set it right where they let him go and let him start. Yeah, but these people, that's what I'm saying. When you cover the team and this is what you got, a PhD in Saintsology, man, you can go through all the trash, the tripe. You can go through it because you live in it. You live in it. How's somebody going to tell you how to breathe when you breathe? Oh, you ain't breathing right. You got to open up all your nostrils. No, man. What you talking about? This is what we do, man. The 23 salary cap space for the Saints, according to Sportrack, the Saints were over the 2023 salary cap by an astounding $58 million. As of early January, easily giving them the worst situation in the NFL. That's not nothing new. That figure includes $5 million in dead cap and based on estimated $225 million NFL salary cap in 2023. The exact cap figure will not be known until the NFL announces it in early March. This is true. But even if it's $50 to $60 million, it is still cheaper, by far cheaper, than what we've seen over the last several years when the Saints had $100 million over the cap. Then it went from that to like $70 to $80 million. Then it now dropped to $40 million, and the sky is falling. If the sky wasn't falling on the Saints at $100 million, and it wasn't falling on the Saints at $70 to $80 million, why would it be falling on the Saints at $45 to $50 million? It won't. It won't be falling, even though it's high. We've been leading them, the NFL, in that statistic over the last several years. It hadn't impacted the building of the team. The Saints still have the good sense to still draft well and cover a lot of, and really would help the Saints out too. Big secret here is that the Saints did a phenomenal job of picking up people in the undrafted ranks. Think about it. We are the best, or one of the best, in finding severe undrafted talent, bringing them to the team, and putting them in there to help. Think about it. Some of the best players that we have on special teams and doing positive things were undrafted guys. You had JT Gray doing his job in this. I mean, there are a number of undrafted guys along the defensive line, the back, and some of them on the offensive line, wide receivers like Rashid Shaheed, that have done a phenomenal work here. So the Saints do a great job. And really, they had several other really talented undrafted guys that they didn't even get an opportunity to be added into playing anyway. You talk about Kirk Merritt, who was a guy balling out in preseason. They didn't give him a chance to even get involved in offense. He was activated several games. Last year, they didn't include him in anything, but he was a phenomenal player for the Saints. Kirk Merritt, remember him? How about Lucas Kroll, the big tight end from Pitt? He was another guy that the Saints could have used. They just simply didn't use. So, I mean, they have some undrafted guys that we bring in every year. You just got to give them guys an opportunity to get in there and see what they can do. That's a big secret there, to be honest with you. All right, Saints free agency 2023. The following Saints players are set to hit free agency. Restricted free agents are noted with the abbreviation RFA. Exclusive right free agents are ERFA. Restricted free agent, Marquez Callaway. Andy Dalton's a free agent. Marcus Davenport's a free agent. Andrew Dowell exclusive rights restricted. Caden Ellis, free agent. Justin Evans, the safety. He's that. Blake Gillikin, our fantastic punter, is the ERFA. JT Gray, who I just mentioned, free agent. Ethan Greenwich, shouldn't even be on the team, free agent. Chase Hansen, ERFA. Deontay Harty, bye-bye, thanks to Rashid Shaheed. Defensive tackle Albert Huggins, ERFA. Mark Ingram, sol hasta la vista to your ass. Juwan Johnson, restricted, should be re-signed. Passing yo, Jarvis Landry, David Onyemata, Bradley Roby, hasta la vista. Daniel Sorensen, hasta la vista. You know, Kentavious Street, hasta la vista. Kelvin Throckmorton, I wish we could say hasta la vista to that turnstile. That big vending machine will on wheels. Shy Tuttle, Dwayne Washington, and PJ Williams, who didn't do really nothing. PJ was banged up this whole year. So this is the Saints' full list right here going into the offseason, just to get the family members a look. That's a lot of good depth there, guys that did some positive stuff for the Saints this past season, isn't it, family? When you talk about guys like Callaway, who's restricted, or guys like Dowell, who is an ERFA, Blake Gillikin most certainly has to, they have to, you know, Blake Gillikin the deal, get him back, even though he's an exclusive rights guy, so we can lock him down. JT Gray, another guy, they'll just probably try to sign him for a cheap one-year deal. You know how the Saints do. I think Harty might be gone. Juwan Johnson is restricted, so the Saints might be able to get something done with him. Perhaps passing yo back cheap. Jarvis Landry, I don't know, because he came because of Jameis Winston. And Jameis Winston's still another guy to find out what we do. We'll get to him momentarily. David Onyemata, do you bring him back? Not unless you bring somebody back next to David Onyemata that can help him on the opposite side. David Onyemata next to Shy Tuttle wasn't consistent. He got mauled, pushed out. I seen him pancaked a few times. I was like, I never seen David Onyemata. But then again, you, as a defensive lineman, you can only do so much. When he looked really good for years next to Malcolm Brown, who was a real nose tackle. The Saints doing this tweener thing where they don't have true nose tackles. You need a real nose tackle, at least two of them on your team. Now, the Saints did have Big Jalen Dalton, but they put him in the street early on, and they just, you got to have at least two big nose tackles. David Onyemata looks different next to a big nose tackle. Saints boy, and Dennis Allen called himself a defensive coordinator. Boy, you want to talk about a man with no vision. That was an easy one to fix right there. Bradley Roby stinks. Good. That was a waste of picks to get him. He stinks. Sorensen is old as dirt. He did some positive stuff. Kentavious Treat was a letdown. Shy Tuttle, I'm interested in bringing Shy Tech back, but mostly as a reserve guy. And P.J. Williams is, you know, at some point you got to let P.J. go. He was banged up the whole year. Wasn't looking good. All right, anyway, let's get ready to move on to the next defensive end. Marcus Davenport sits there. Sportrack calculated his value at 4 years. Oh, my goodness. Did you see that? You hear what these people saying? Greg Hines. Thank you, Greg. Shout out to you, bro. It says 13 former Saints played. Yeah, I seen that, bro. Yeah, Cincinnati. A lot of guys from Cincinnati. Yeah. Philadelphia. And not only play, bro, but these are their pivotal parts in the success of their team, aren't they? The guys that the Bengals have are impactful guys. Von Bell, Trey Hendrickson. You know, the guys with Philadelphia, they're impactful. So it's several players, man, throughout the playoff run where they had Saints players, but they were not just eating up space. These guys were productive players for their team. So all that shows you is that the Saints are really good at developing, drafting, and bringing in undrafted or drafted guys and developing them into something phenomenal. So, yeah, I think that is a positive, but at the same time, you got to know who to keep and who not to keep. You know, sometimes you can't keep them all, but they are those that you can look at and say, yeah, we want this guy to hang around for a while, you know, so get the most out of him. All right, so anyway, the Marcus Davenport conundrum. 4 years at $93 million or $23 million AAV. So what they're basically telling you, this is what they add Marcus Davenport's market value as. That's right, Marcus Davenport. If Davenport gets offered $20 million plus this offseason, the Saints would be wise to not even consider matching. They can't afford to. Plus, Davenport had a seriously disappointing individual season in 2022. The Saints would be wise to let Davenport walk and settle for the mid-round compensatory pick they would get in 2024. I would agree with that. Oh, Izzy 504 Co says Q Jalen Dalton with the Falcons now. How about that? See? They know. Quarterback, and they see team people the Saints have. Man, the Saints get the best undrafted guys. They know that. And when undrafted guys fall through the cracks, they quick to get them teams quickly grab them from the Saints. They really do. Quarterback Andy Dalton, Sportrack calculated market value 2 years at $13.5 million or $7 million on average. Overview, considering their dire short-term outlook, the Saints could do far worse for a bridge quarterback in Dalton. They're far too upside down financially this year to make sense to draft a quarterback high. What? If you're too far upside down, what are you talking about not drafting a quarterback? You would want to draft a quarterback. You mean upside down in terms of going into free agency because you don't have the money to buy or compete with it to try to get a quarterback to lure him in free agency. But drafting, you could draft a quarterback and bring him onto the team. Matter of fact, that would fix your outlook and the Saints don't peer into the future. Every last one of the teams in the NFC South are going to have young quarterbacks at the helm. Atlanta got going early with Desmond Ridder. Golden Corral is in Carolina, even though I think Frank Wright is going to bring his own guy in there. They got a top 10 pick. You got to be looking at a quarterback with that pick. Then, of course, you look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers with Tom Brady leaving. Kyle Trask is the guy over there, another young. So it's a youth movement all across the NFC South. The Saints need to get involved. They need to get involved, but it takes vision, something that these people simply don't have. If you look from a historical standpoint, this is just me as a Saint historian, going back with all of the years that we had Drew Brees as a quarterback, was the perfect scenario for drafting a quarterback and allowing him to develop under Drew Brees. And then with Drew Brees' time came to an end, you simply rolled this young quarterback from up under Drew, who had opportunity to sit for a couple of years, maybe 2 or 3 years, and then had an opportunity to roll out and take care of football in the Who Dat Nation for the next 5 to 10 years. No, sir. Didn't happen because the Saints didn't have the vision. They wanted to stay and keep what they had because they didn't have no vision. No vision, no backup plan, no nothing, and you're seeing it. A visionless team. a visionless team that struck lightning with Peyton and Drew Brees and then didn't have the vision to look beyond that. No vision. All right, on top of that, considering the lack of first-round pick, it just makes most sense that a cheap veteran is signed to get New Orleans through a challenging season. Dalton actually outperformed his contract in 2022. Well, let me add sprinkle some seasoning on that dry-ass jambalaya you got there, playboy. Number one, the Saints' first-round draft pick is on the team in the form of Chris Olave, who is a finalist for Offensive Rookie of the Year. That's number one. Let's not forget that every time they keep telling you don't have a first-round draft pick. What you do with that pick? Oh, I used it to get Chris Olave to satisfy Michael Thomas, who said, go get this guy. I want this guy. So you think Mike walks away from Chris Olave after he finally gets healthy? You know? Does the Saints say, nah, we're going to cut him? We're going to see what happens. But at the end of the day, that's who your first-round draft pick is, Chris Olave. Let's keep that in contrast. And then, of course, the other issue is that the bridge quarterback, to a challenging season. First and foremost, this is two straight years the Saints didn't make the playoffs, and they're going backwards. They were 9-7 the year before. They're 7-10 this year. They're going in reverse. They are regressing. Not because of talent, because of coaching and leadership, because of vision. They simply don't have it. They think you can just prop up anybody on there. And I don't know how Mickey Loomis can actually look anybody in the face and say he hired some guy and this guy's a good coach. Mickey Loomis is suffering from a severe case of dementia right now if he believes that Dennis Allen is anything but a janitor. I don't get that part. But and then, of course, Dalton outperformed his contract in 2022. Didn't he, Q? He really performed. Dandy Dalton did well. That's what Dennis Allen said. That's what Mickey Loomis said. Dennis really did well. You know, Dennis did well. And of course, Andy Dalton said that he wouldn't mind coming back. And of course, he played all that time thanks to Dennis Allen benching Jameis Winston for sour grapes for exposing him to the press. Of course. And then after all of that terrible play that he had, and he outperformed it. From a statistical perspective, which if you actually watch the games and not wrote things based on like every game, like we did all the live streams up here every Sunday or whatever the games were, we up here reacting to it live when most of his statistics and junk and touchdowns came from garbage time moments of the season. I don't forget that stuff. See, that's the asterisk you got to throw in there, that a lot of his fantastic stats he outperformed happened in garbage time moments of games. Or in half-ass games when he'll throw 200 yards or whatever and then when the game gets out of hand and the team is winning, he'll throw a late touchdown that don't even matter. We had to deal with those games too. We also had to deal with the games to watch him try to throw interceptions to the opposing team like he did in the Carolina game. And then when people ask him, what the hell were you throwing at? Or you're trying to get the ball out my hands. What? And I said, when we did the post game, I was like, is this freaking guy drunk? What he was saying didn't even make any sense, man. And if I was sitting there, I'd say, excuse me, say that again. Say that again. What did you say? I'm sorry. I might have been tripping on something right quick. I got some water in my ear here. Would you want to repeat that again? I'll try to get the ball out my hand. Oh, you trying to try to get the ball? Could you get the ball out your hand to one of your teammates? Huh? And try that. Why don't you? But he got $1 million off you. Thanks to Dennis Allen, he got a cool million off your ass at the end when that back end of the season happened. So in the end, does Andy Dalton get another opportunity to come back as a backup? Oh, he does. He absolutely does. Because Dennis Allen says, and Mickey says, oh, yeah, Dennis did, yeah, you know. Andy did well. He did well. He did good. Oh, really? See, it's crazy, man. Thank the Lord for the great Saint Think Tank. I mean, thank the Lord, man. Thank the Lord for the great Saint Think Tank. Thank you guys, man. Thank you. For real, man. Could you imagine a world without the great Saint Think Tank? Telling it like it is, keeping it real. All of the spew and the corporate garbage that you have to swallow from these people. Thank the Lord for you guys. I'm telling you, man, for real. All right, potential cut candidates. Jameis Winston, $4.4 million in cap savings. And I think if you cut him, I think it's the June 1st cut. They were saying, I remember covering it, the financials, that they can get up to $13 million back from him or something like that. Then they got Tre'Quan Smith up there. Come on, man. Tre'Quan Smith needs to be gone. And, of course, they got the team needs heading into the 2023 offseason. They got wide receiver, safety, guard, cornerback, and quarterback. Really? First and foremost, that is not how I would rate that lineup. Wide receiver would be interesting, but quarterback should be at the top of the offseason needs for the team. And there is no running back up there, so we're not going to take in consideration that Alvin Kamara could be missing a month and maybe a month and a half worth of games because he has a trial coming up of what happened in Las Vegas last Pro Bowl game. That's March the 1st. You could be missing him for a month, maybe a month and a half on games, depending on what Roger the Skunk Goodell, who hates the Saints, tend to do. Remember, he's quite heavy-handed against the Who Dat Nation. So quarterback would have to rank high on my list simply because you don't have a long-term option. It's enough. You can't push this into the future any longer when the future is here. The future is now for the New Orleans Saints. Everybody in the division will be having young quarterbacks. It's time for you to get one too. Wide receiver is a position I would look at, but not that high. Why are we getting another wide receiver? You don't got a quarterback to throw him to. You're going to have Andy the Freak Dalton throw him the ball again? So I don't know who concocted this, but quarterback need to be a lot higher than that. Why is cornerback there? Why is cornerback? Who would put cornerback there? And then you don't even have no defensive line, not a DE or a DL? Who made this? Clarence Carter? Stevie Wonder? My goodness, man. Thank the Lord. Let me say it again. Thank the Lord for the great Saint Dank Tank. Thank you guys for being who you are. Thank you for being alive at this time frame. Thank you guys for being as smart and as diligent and as caring and as passionate as you are. Thank you. Thank the world and the universe for you. I'm telling you straight. I'm thanking all of you guys. Thank you guys, because without you, could you imagine what this would be like? Everybody just would simply believe everything these people say. They would just simply just go along to get along. There would be no critical analysis, no challenging of anything. Could you understand how fortunate I am to even be talking to you guys with this level of intelligence to understand what we're dealing with here and how we just walk through this thing with critical analysis? Man, let me tell you, thank the Most High for you guys, for real. Thank the Most High for you guys. And this Saint team needs heading into the offseason is preposterous. Look at that. That is preposterous. Quarterback has got to be high up on the list. Let's make it right. Let's use that PhD in Saintology, baby. Baby, let's talk about it. Number one, quarterback should be high up on this list because you don't have one into the future. You don't have a quarterback take you 5 years into the future. You don't know what's going to happen with Jameis Winston, whether he demands a trade or the Saints put him in the street. Taysom Hill is not a quarterback. The Saints don't treat him like a quarterback. And when he has an opportunity to throw the ball, he don't even go through his progressions. He just takes off 6 yards behind the line of scrimmage and runs into a stacked box, which is crazy and suicide. But at the same time, he's so crazy. Sometimes he actually runs through the arm tackles of several different guys and actually makes a positive play. So I can't say too much about it, even though he has an opportunity to make an easier play than doing that with his arm. And of course, Andy Dalton is nothing. He is nothing but a backup at this stage of his career. His decision-making stinks. His arm is not as good as it's supposed to be. And his accuracy is waning. He's a guy simply as good in small stretches of the season, 3-4 games at most, which means you would have to look outside the building, whether the draft or in free agency. Being at the Saints or going into free agency, there's not many options there. I say you might want to utilize the draft and get you a quarterback. But then again, you got a head coach that sits on top of the team that is going to be filling the flames. Do you think Dennis Allen will be comfortable with a rookie quarterback with his job on the line? Very interesting, huh? Oh, thank you. Greg, thank you, bro. Says keep leading the way. Man, we all walking together, my brother, and all talking the same, man. So thank you, bro, for that super chat. Much love, man. But no, sir, this list is all wrong, man. Quarterback should be at the top. We need a defensive end. What about people? He just got Drew Lamb based in Cam in this article saying a diminishing Cam Jordan. He just took down Ricky Jackson's sack record. Ricky Jackson, besides Drew Brees, Ricky Jackson will go down as one of the greatest Saints that ever put the black and gold uniform on. Ricky Jackson was an absolute monster, man. They were comparing Ricky Jackson to Lawrence Taylor back in the day. That's how phenomenal Ricky Jackson was. People who really know how great Ricky Jackson was, how fantastic he was, they don't know, man. He would dominate in today's league. If you dipped him in the Lazarus pit and put him back out there and he goes back, Ricky would dominate in any league at any time. And he was just phenomenal. And for Cam to do that, that's just simply amazing. For Cam to do that, man, not diminishing. DeMario Davis and Cam Jordan are not diminishing guys. They're not. They're still very productive. More productive than their younger counterparts, by the way. Speaking of counterparts, where was Davenport at? Huh? Where was Davenport? He spent a lot of time healthy this year. Why didn't his numbers in a contract year help Cam Jordan? Now, we're like, he was doing the pass, right? Most of the time, the man was going against one-on-one block. He couldn't even beat the man. He was going against old backup-ass offensive lineman. Couldn't get off, man. No, Davenport's a bum. He's a bust. And we should have never drafted him. When I seen him standing up there with that old hanging cross earring on there. they need to take the hair. We know the great, the power and the magical power of the hanging cross earring that the great Aaron Neville wore. The great George Michael wore. The great Lawrence Taylor. Lawrence Taylor wore that old hanging cross earring. It didn't work for Davenport, though. You know who wearing that hanging cross earring? Right now, Metcalf. Not Metcalf. The wide receiver from Seattle. Yeah, him. I forgot his name. I don't like him, but he wears the hanging cross. See, the power of the hanging cross earring, baby. Davenport couldn't tap into that hanging cross earring, man. But he's a bum, a bust. And then we got Peyton Turner here, a guy that they drafted because he looked like Davenport. Well, he certainly does, don't he? He's on an injured list along with him. So it's crazy, man. What do they do there? Do they address that in the draft again, or do they go into free agency and see if they can do something there? That's because Cam needs help. Cam needs help. So you're investing in Peyton Turner. You got to cut him loose with Davenport going. You got to get Turner out there and get him playing. You got to get him out there. The Saints need help more so in the interior defensive line as well. The interior defensive line stinks. David Onyemata is a free agent. If you bring him back on a manageable contract, if you can afford it, and some people don't overpay for him, you would be smart to line up two nose tackles. You need a big nose tackle to go next to David Onyemata to get the very best out of him. Not two tweener tackles. I'm really sick of that. When guys say, oh, it don't matter if you got the two defensive tackles that you could put next to each other, it's the same thing. That don't work for everybody. A traditional defensive line operates when you have two ends and you got a big plotting nose tackle interior who occupies two offensive linemen. It takes two linemen to block them, and that frees up other guys to be able to make plays. Also, a big, nasty interior nose tackle who occupies two offensive linemen, keeps that extra offensive lineman from leaking out and getting to the second level and blocking out Pete Werner or DeMario Davis, which open up lanes for the running backs to run behind them to get to the second and third levels of your defense. Watch the film. Just traditional logic and smart stuff that everybody should know. But Dennis Allen, supposed to be a defensive coordinator and supposed to know these things, didn't do anything to even fill in when he seen the interior defensive line collapse. And he let it happen the entire year. You want to talk about a man with no vision that's supposed to know defense? You can put the tape on and the statistics both verify what I'm saying. But anyway, interior defensive line, you need at least two nose tackles, one to start and one that comes off the bench. You need two nose tackles. I'm talking a guy that's 310, 320, 330 pounds. And they had guys out on a free agency that you could have picked up from the vet minimum. The Saints simply didn't. Dennis Allen was over his head. He didn't look at this team correctly. I was yelling it the entire season. The Saints need to go into free agency and find a veteran defensive lineman to come in and help with their run stuffing woes. The Philadelphia Eagles did it. When Big Jordan Davis got hurt, what did the Eagles do? They went and signed Ndamukong Suh. They even picked up that other big interior defensive tackle when injuries started to hit them in the face, didn't they? That's what proactive teams with vision do. When they see something hurting, they don't pretend like it don't exist. They go and fix it right away. They're proactive. They got on it and made it happen. And that's why you see the Eagles sitting up here playing for big blue chips and the Saints watching them. Terrible. But anyway, I disagree with this guy. A lot of this article, what he was saying, it's just where we are in the process of thinking. Wide receiver is not the number one situation. We could use safety help. I've said that before. The Saints need safeties out of the draft. They really do. I know about Smoke Monday. I don't know if Bryce Thompson is still there. But we most certainly could use safety help in the draft. Cornerback help, not so much, because I think we'll be all right, fine right there. We can get undrafted guys or maybe a cornerback on the back end, toward the sixth or seventh aspect of the draft. But quarterback is something you got to put up there high. The defensive end and defensive lineman, you got to put up that high. You could use some reserve guards to help out because our reserve guards stink. Lewis Kidd, Kelvin Throckmorton, they're awful, so. It is what it is. So anyway, that's just a little look at that. So let me recap this thing, family. We talk about the Falcons prying Ryan Nielsen away from the Saints. Shout out. What's up, Lo? Shout out to my boy, Lo, man. Good to see you, bro. I'll see you there. All right. Falcons pry Ryan Nielsen away from the Saints. We knew that eventually Ryan Nielsen was going to leave. And this is a good hiring for the Falcons. I don't know if and my dog, Lo, right there. DK Metcalf. Thank you, Jerry. DK Metcalf wears the hanging cross earring. Notice that, bro. Only some of the better athletes, the exception to the rule is Davenport, of course. But some of the best ones do wear that hanging cross earring. It's weird. I try to look up the science behind that hanging cross earring, bro. Not everybody wears it, man. I'm telling you, it's a science behind everything, man. It really Yeah, it's a science behind there. It's a science behind peanut butter. It's a science behind ice cream, man. It's a science behind everything. Anyway, this is a good hire for the Falcons, man, because Ryan Nielsen will fix what the Falcons had issues with on the defensive line. Their pass rush issues and the ability not to stop the run consistently. Ryan Nielsen will help fix that as a coordinator. He'll have that defensive line playing with passion and intelligence. And he is really good at bringing in rotation pieces. Like, he'll have rotational defensive ends coming in because in his philosophy, it keeps the guys fresh and keeps them involved as opposed to having this guy play all these heavy-handed reps. He has a good rotation where guys firing off and they're doing really well. So he was a major part to help Cam Jordan's game elevate to another level. And by the way, Cam was kind of happy for him that he was getting a promotion to coordinator, but not to the Atlanta Falcons. So, we know how that feels. So that's going to be interesting. Of course, we looked at the Saints' current defensive staff. As you can see right here, he's not on there anymore. And they got Chris Richard right here. And we know Coach Richard did an interview with the Dolphins and with the Panthers. And Ian Rappaport said there was supposed to be others involved, but do the Saints then say, yo, coach, we want you to do this? Hopefully Coach Richard says, listen, I'm trying to be a defensive coordinator. Dennis Allen, will you allow me to call my own plays and run my defense? If not, then I'm going to leave as well. Hopefully he bucks him like that and says, listen, let me be a coordinator. I want to be a coordinator, not a co-coordinator. Let me run my defense. Let me run my defense like you let Carmichael run that offense into the ground. Let me do my thing. Dennis Allen got to respect his mind and let the man run that damn defense. And plus, Dennis Allen can't chew bubble gum and walk at the same time. Call himself trying to run a team and call defensive plays. He better take whatever brain cells he has left and focus on the team as an overseer and allow these other people to do their job, because Richard's a 10 times better coordinated than Dennis Allen could ever hope to be. Anyway, you're going to see this right here. They'll look at trying to get a defensive line coach. We'll see where the Saints go, because the Saints haven't interviewed anybody because they hadn't done a damn thing. They're still in offseason planning mode, 3 weeks or so into the offseason. Oh, that's visionary. That's simply visionary. Cardinals, and of course we talk about the Cardinals situation. Cardinals legend urged team to hire Sean Payton. And if you want to win, hire a winner. If you don't, keep hiring these no-name coaches. That's as simple as that. And that's why I keep telling people, it's like, if you look at Denver, Denver did it. They hired Vic Fangio and made him the oldest coach in the NFL. Didn't work. Got fired. They hired Paul Hackett. No experience as a prior head coach. Got fired. After one season, new ownership says, man, listen, we tired of all of these guys. These are just guys with no resumes of winning anything. Sean Payton has a resume of building impressive offenses. We got an old quarterback we can't trade. We kind of stuck right here. We might, and then of course, not to mention that Russell Wilson is clamoring and calling and saying that he wants Sean Payton to be the coach of the team. That means a lot if you're the quarterback that the team can't get rid of. So we're going to see. I think Denver is desperate, even though they're not going to pretend to be desperate. They're going to keep going about their due diligence of looking at coaches and saying, this guy is our top candidate, na-da-da-da-da. Because like most teams who are smart, they don't want to appear to be thirsty because they know Payton could use that as leverage against them. So it's just going to be something that's going to be happening. But the next round of interviews are coming because he finished this. So we'll see what the upcoming week holds as this situation will come to closure eventually. And of course, we did cover we played some interview from Tom Pelissero, and he just be blowing smoke. A lot of times I listen to him, he just be running off at the mouth. I'd be like, bro, that don't make any sense, man. What are you talking about? That don't make any sense. Denver doesn't believe that there are any coaching, any competition to hire Sean Payton. Oh, really? Then why is he interviewing with Arizona if there's no serious competition? They seem pretty serious to me. Nobody don't sit with nobody for 8 hours unless you the Saints and not planning on hiring. Just common sense. Like I said, the great Saint Think Tank, man. I love y'all, man. And of course, then we talk about the offseason preview. We covered that. That was pretty good. I disagreed with a lot of what this guy was saying because he was trying to pass himself off like he knew the Saints. And I'm like, dude, you don't know what you're talking about. Stop with the sky is falling stuff. The only problem we have with the Saints is the head coach on top of the team. That's the problem. The problem is we have a coach who's not really a coach. He don't really deserve the position. He got it because Sean Payton told Mickey Loomis to hire him. We should have hired somebody else. It could have been Eric Bieniemy, Brian Flores, anybody else. They had a better record of success as a head coach than this guy did. And he got hired because he's Sean Payton's boy. That's how that went. So in the end, we got to get this guy up off the team. And eventually he will do it because he doesn't have what it takes to be a winner because he can't consist. I won't get into a long spiel. Just listen to the old shows. I always go through my little spiel about things that you're supposed to have as a coach. Another thing, if the Saints is to have success in this season, the Saints must solve the quarterback situation. Stop looking at bridge quarterbacks. We've been bridging it for the last three, four years. Drew Brees been retired now for what, 3 years now, going into 3 years, and we still bridging it. Hell, we was bridging it when Drew Brees was still a quarterback when he was banged up. Matter of fact, we was bridging it and called the man was Teddy Bridgewater. We had a bridge guy, and then he wasn't a bridge guy anymore. Then we had a guy that wasn't a quarterback who was Steve Young. Remember him? He's still on the team. So at some point, we got to fix it. We got to get this right, fam. We got to get it right because everybody's getting younger in the NFC South. And we need to look at the future, too. We can't be dinosaurish and plodding and slow and picking up and getting young talent at the QB position to move forward. Can't happen anymore. You know, just it's not good. All right. Shout out to the fam. Appreciate you guys for being here on the stream. We'll get ready to out on that. Listen, I'd like to thank all you guys for tuning in on the stream today. Listen, there's a lot left to be going, a lot of positive stuff left to be said moving forward. The offseason is going to be a really exciting time. We know that we'll see what happens with Coach Richard. Do the Saints make the decision to say, Coach Richard, we want you as the defensive coordinator? Coach Richard wants to be an actual coordinator. He doesn't want to be somebody that's just coaching from, you calling me a co-coordinator, but all I do is take care of the secondary. How am I a defensive coordinator? And you got me over here and this other guy doing the same thing. Well, he ain't the other guy no more. It's all you now. So I organize the defense, do all this stuff, and I don't get to call plays. This is the thing. Hopefully he uses the leverage that somebody might offer him a head coaching job, and hopefully he uses that leverage to get Dennis Allen to allow him to call plays, because I know that's a big part about it. Ryan Nielsen was trying to get out of here because he wants to be a real coordinator. They don't want to be somebody where you handle the defensive line and then you can't even call the plays. You're not running anything if you're not calling the plays on the defense, fam. Let's keep it real. That's why these men looking for actual coordinator positions. This is a joke. And Dennis Allen, I really don't like Dennis Allen. I really think Dennis Allen's a clown. And I really think what's really sad, the saddest thing about Dennis Allen, he got the nerve to be arrogant. As stupid as how his situation lined up, he has the nerve to be arrogant and stick to some of the dumbest things that I've ever seen. And do, you know, he got the balls to be this guy got the nerve to be arrogant. That guy, I'm about to set something off on your ass right quick, but I'm gonna be cool. But it's just that type of behavior, and that thought process ruins the team. It ruins the team because you can't put yourself above the team like you would tell a player. I can't, you know, you're not above the team. No one is higher than the team. But yeah, but you believe, you behave like it, making decisions based on emotion, walking around floating on the cloud, making emotions and emotional decisions like with Jameis. But it's just amazing, man. It really is. So we're going to see how it all twists and turns. The offseason is something else where last year they didn't do a real bad job in the offseason. But it's like, you got to remember, it's two parts here. You got the offseason and the on season. The offseason, what you do in the offseason, you got to take that part of the offseason. And when the end season comes on, or the on season, off and on, you got to take what you did from the off period and make it count in the on. And that's Dennis Allen's job. He has to take what they did in the off season and then make it turn on in the on season where it works. And that's where he failed this past season. These guys didn't do what they were supposed to do. He destroyed the QB position, which is the most important position on the team. How do they fix that? There's so many questions. And remember, Mickey Loomis still owe you a press conference.
Yeah, that's right. Well, hold on now, Q. Let me tell you something. Stop telling them that. God damn it. They just stop being mad at me. And here you go again. Here you go with this stuff. I mean, I've never seen them so mad at me before. I mean, they're really, man, I'm getting an angry face at them. I went to buy some bread the other day. And, you know, I went to the store and I went to buy some bread and some shaving cream. And then I happened to look right down the aisle and there was a clerk at the store. He was just standing there at me with a mean mugging me. Just standing there mean mugging me. Just me. I was like, oh my God. You know, at least I was like, good thing I'm strapped. I got to roll around strapped now. You know, let me tell you something. I might talk a little funny, but listen, I got that thing on me. I'll put you down. I'll lay you low. Let me tell you something. I'm gonna tell you something. I'll lay you low now. I'll tell you what, man. I got that thing on me. I hate to talk like that, but you know, some of these guys don't understand. Yeah. Wow. Listen, man. You know, guys are mean mugging me. I went to Walgreens, man. I went to buy some denture cream, man. Let me tell you something. This lady. She had to be every bit of 85 years old when she checked me out. So you stand up there. She was standing up there mean mugging me. I'm like, wow, what the hell did I do to you? Lady, what is wrong? You know, let me tell you something. That was awful. And I was like, yeah, so I keep that thing on me. You know, I make sure I roll around. I got to roll around with that thing on me now. You know, yeah, the Great Saint Think Tank, they're bringing the pressure. You know, I can't even do, I gotta go on Instacart now. I can't even shop anymore. It's a scary day out here, man. Let me tell you something. I used to be able to roll around. People wave and smile. It ain't the same anymore. Let me tell you. People are upset. Hey, listen, I say, listen, man, I was like, somebody told me, hey, Mickey, man, you got to go get that. I said, you know what? I went to the pawn shop, man, and I said, man, I got that thing on me now. So listen, you can come with all that BS. I'll lay you low. I'll put you down, man. Hey, listen, they could tell that I'll make you famous. Listen, let me tell you, I'll make you famous. I mean, you play with me, I'll make you famous. They're like, you know, I'll put you down. They say, Mickey put me down. I'll make you famous. I... I'll make you famous. Hey, I'll put that thing on you. Right, let me tell you something. I'll make you famous. I ain't playing no games. You know what I'm saying? I'll make you famous out here. I'll play. They'll say, Mickey, put that guy down. Yeah, that's right. I'll put that boy underneath there. I'll play with me if you want to. I might talk a little quiet, but I got something on me that sound a lot louder. I'll put you down.
Oh my goodness, could y'all imagine Gangster Mickey? Gangster Mickey? Oh my goodness, Gangster Mickey.
Oh yeah, I'll put you down. You talking all that crap, Q, but let me tell you something. The Great Saint Think Tank coming for me. I don't want to put nobody under the ground. But listen, don't think that I'm Mickey Mouse Loomis. I used to be that back in the day. I'm not Mickey Mouse Loomis now. I'm Slick Mickey. That's right, Slick Mickey, and I'll put you down. Slick Mickey. I'm Slick Mickey. Oh, yeah, Slick Mickey, I'll put you under the ground, baby. Baby, I'll start talking like Reverend Satan shit. Hold on, Mickey, baby. Baby, hold on, Mickey. You can't be talking like that, baby. Oh, hey, Reverend Satan, how you doing, man? Well, I had to get involved, baby. Baby, I had to get involved. You losing your mind up here, baby. Baby, you must got the touch of dementia, baby. What you doing, baby? Well, I'm just saying, Reverend Saint, you know, they're coming for me, mean mugging me and everything. You know what I'm saying? I was just telling them I got that thing on me. I got to protect myself. Well, Mickey, what are you doing, baby? Baby, what you doing out here, baby? Baby, that's all wrong. Baby, you can't be acting like that, baby. Baby, baby, listen, baby. Baby, you know how many people, baby. Baby, I had friends of mine, baby, that I came up with, baby. Baby, they had that thing on them too, baby. And baby, let me tell you something, baby. Baby, they died with that thing on them, baby. Baby, they died with that thing on them. Well, listen here, Reverend Saint. I'm not trying to be mean. Hey, you sound like a pimp. You know that? Anybody ever told you that? You sound like a pimp. But anyway, listen, let me tell you something. Hey, you know, I'm called Slick Mickey, baby. I got that thing, baby. Baby, baby.
Reverend Saint having a conversation with Mickey Loomis. Oh, man, Mickey starts imitating Reverend Saint.
Oh, baby.
Slick Mickey?
Baby, I'm Slick Mickey, baby.
I'm done. It's over with. I'm over with. It's done. I'm done. I'm out of here, man. I'm starting to have Mickey talk.
Reverend Saint, baby, what are you talking about, Mickey? Baby, you're losing it out here, baby. Oh, baby.
Oh, I'm done. Alright, fam, I'ma holler at y'all later, man. I'ma holler at y'all on the flip side, man. Much love to the fam. Please feel free to hit the like button, hit the subscribe button. And by all means, hit the show link, go to the description section, check out the pro shop, do a little shopping. It helps out the channel. And I'ma holler at y'all on the flip side. Much love to y'all. Who that, and I'm out.
Yeah. Like Benson, I'm a who that.
I'm a who that.
Long as I'm living, I'm a who that. Lose or winning, I'm a who that. Sports coma, yeah, this is where we do that. 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 Boogie like Benson, I'm a who that.
I'm a who that.
Sports coma, this is where we do that.
Where we do that.
Welcome. Somebody please better help. Running this thing like Elf. Thank God every day I'm not a felt. Go to YouTube live with Big Q and the guys. If you ain't ride or die, the bandwagon get flipped. Been marching in, that was way for the ring. I was yelling out your shame for the championship. Fucking on town, duck down. Falcons, pluck, get shut down. Panthers ain't much to
touchdown. The vision really belong to us now. So much hate on the Saints, you could probably tell. Ever since Bounty Gate hit the NFL, when things seem fishy and you probably smell the crooked referees on Roger Goodell. Love money like this and I'm a who that. Every day I'm living, I'm a who that. Lose or win, and I'm a who that. It's the sports coma, this is where we do that. Where we do that at. Where we do that at. Where we do that, where we do that, where we do that at. Boogie like this, and I'm a who that. It's the sports coma, this is where we do that.
You're listening to the Sports Coma with Big Q and the guys on the PRO Media Network.
Platform store where you can go and buy all the latest merch to support the platform. Available at the Pro Shops, we have dozens of hundreds of products available for you and your family. Unisex tees for men and women, hoodies and sweatshirts, tank tops, kids and baby items, long sleeve tees, mugs, pillows, wall art, bath bedding, face masks, phone cases, stickers, bags, fanny packs, socks, hats, and many other items. Please feel free to check out the Pro Shops. The link is in the description section below. And remember, it helps the platform continue to grow. Check out the Pro Shop and who that is.
WhoThatDaily.com. That's right, the WhoThatDaily.com. Your one-stop shop for everything New Orleans Saints, New Orleans Pelicans, LSU Tigers, even the top-flight boxing news. So if you're a Who That, you're looking for a place to stay up on your team, WhoThatDaily.com is your site. The WhoThatDaily.com for the sport Who That in all of us.